Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome to The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. I am your host, Erica Lynn Anderson, along with my awesome and very good-looking co-hosts, Eric Brown and Nkeshi Free. Today, we don't have a guest in the huddle, but we are going to be talking about franchise tags, salary caps, drafts, and roster moves. Maybe talk a little bit more about the combine, see if, if we missed anything last week. Plus, LIBF Saturday night, BAFA Women's Staff Fighter Series and World Women's Football Games. The second one of that in Tampa is going on. We want to say a great big congratulations to @IAmMegatroon for winning our February No Joke Football Tee Contest. So there's really awesome free stuff. Follow us on Twitter. Use hashtag No Joke Football to support our awareness project. Hi, Eric and Nkeshi. How are you guys?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
How you
so
doing?
How's your guys' week been?
Well, mine has been very long and hectic and crazy with a lot of meetings. Oh, joy to the world. We love meetings. And then all of a sudden we've had a mild winter down here in the D.C. area. And then in the past week and a half, it's just been snowstorm after ice storm. So we actually just ended up with another round today of freezing rain and ice. So right now we're just trying to figure out what the weather's doing. Literally during December and January, nothing. And now all of a sudden February just lost its mind. So March really is coming in like a lion.
It's funny because, I talk about Montana and how, we get snow all the time and it's, freezing cold here a lot of the time. And, people, let's say in Montana, will kind of laugh, let's say, at people in, Texas or, even like the South where they're like, oh, my gosh, they got a couple inches of snow and it got a little bit cold and everyone's freaking out. But they forget that in those really huge cities, a little bit of snow and, when it gets cold causes extreme chaos. They don't realize because we're pretty rural out here. They don't realize how, like, the pandemonium that goes on with the freeways and just the amount of people, and when you don't get it all the time, it's kind of nerve-wracking to drive in. So, people like to laugh at, people that don't get a lot of snow, and they get it, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you didn't get much. But, they forget that it's not, it's not easy for those big cities.
Well, no, especially because of our infrastructure, And having, especially with the need for public transportation. And
exactly.
And so when your infrastructure is built around public transportation, we have to have those, I don't want to call them conveniences because on so many levels it's almost a necessity at this point. And it can just be people have to go to work. Plus here in the D.C. area, you have to remember, this is still the nation's capital, so we don't really get to shut down.
Yeah,
with the types of employees we have around here, a lot of people do work on the weekends and not traditional, and so the weather's just been kind of the past 2 weeks. But other than that, life has been good. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, the weather here has been crazy too. You know, for the Dallas area at least, we've had ice storms, snow, and coming up on Tuesday, it's supposed to be back up to 70. So I'm like you, I'm just trying to wait to see what's going to happen. So.
Yeah.
Now, Eric,
yeah,
is it as bad as it was during the Super Bowl?
What's that?
Is it as bad as it was that year that Dallas hosted the Super Bowl?
No, it's nowhere near that bad. That was tough. But, no, I mean, we've had probably the most, maybe an inch or so of snow. But we've had freezing rain. And, of course, you know, they don't have salt trucks here. They don't really have snow plows. So they really don't have anything to, you know, to help get rid of that stuff. I mean, they put sand down, but that does nothing. That just gets everything dirty. So that and, you know, school closings, you know, everything shuts down. So pretty interesting week.
I just know that, you know, like I said, that I just, those big areas, I always feel bad when stuff hits like that that doesn't hit normally, because it just seems like it'd be so dangerous, like you said, without the snow plows. And, you know, we've got, I mean, my neighbors literally have four-wheelers with snow plows on the front of their little four-wheelers because we get snow so much, you know. But in Dallas,
right,
that's not something that's real common. So that seems like it'd definitely be, you know, scary situations and also probably annoying with your schedules and all sorts of things. So, yeah.
Well, it's still pretty funny because, I mean, coming from Chicago, I mean, you know, you deal with it on a regular basis.
Oh, that's true.
It's just funny how, you know, people just freak out when there's like an inch of snow predicted and everybody's running to the store,
yeah,
you know, getting frozen pizza and bottled water. And, I mean, they might as well say the world
that's
coming
funny
to an end.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, you're used to it, so that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you, you know.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Kishi?
What? No, I was going to say that Eric, you know,
okay.
I keep forgetting that he's from Chicago. So I was going to say, yeah. But now Chicago,
yeah.
I have to say, you guys have a better infrastructure, I think, in place, even than we do here in the D.C. area. And I love being here in the D.C. area. But one of our other challenges is that this is such a high transplant, and that's what we call them anyway, transplant area, because of so many people coming in and out because of the military bases, that even though those of us who live here, we're fine driving in it, you have to remember we have so many people who are here coming in and out all the time from other cities who are still just trying to learn the roadways, period. And then you want to throw in the weather conditions, too. And
yeah,
so that
yeah,
makes
you
for,
that
you know.
DC.
Yeah, that
yeah,
it makes for a very interesting situation.
Yeah, I'm sure for a lot of people there's some culture shock going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys can go to the No Joke Football Show. Go to the No Joke Football Shop today at Zabo.com/GridironBeauties. You can order project apparel like leggings, hoodies, and cool tees. You know, if you're trying out for women's football, or, you know, you're looking to fulfill your New Year's resolution and working out and losing weight or getting in shape, whatever it is you're trying to do, you know, we can help you out. So definitely go to our store. You can save daily with our awesome deals. A reminder that every sale from the No Joke Football brand goes to help another player get noticed and recognized or all around the world through the photo shoots that we do, social media platforms, you know, facebook.com/GridironBeauties, that those pictures all go up. You know, we have players like Chrissy Moran, Lauren Evans of Gridiron Queensland, plus Moon Arandia and Sophia Van Bay of FXF Mexico and LIBF. So we really appreciate the support from the women athletes. Check out our playlist at Gridiron Beauty's YouTube channel and witness girls playing American football like a girl. No Joke Football. So subscribe today. All eyes were on Tampa this weekend for the Women's World Football Games 2. You know, we did talk about that a little bit last week, which is really awesome. Over 160 women gridiron ballers at the USA Football Developmental Camp use the hashtag WWFG or WWFG2 to witness the cool photos of the event on Twitter and on Facebook. I want to give a big shout-out to Sam Rappaport of USA Football for putting it together, this great event, and to bring awareness, you know, to women's football. That has to be a huge undertaking that, you know, that she's doing. So it's really awesome. And cool news, Guam Women's Tackle Football League will be sponsored by Bud Light for their fourth season. So that is really awesome to hear that, you know, that women's football, tackle football, is getting noticed by sponsors like that. So don't forget to watch LIBF broadcast on TVS Tech and on YouTube Radio Man in their 2015 season. If you check out our timelines this week for score updates on Facebook and Twitter, for all those updates. Get LNFA Spanish League updates and stats at FIFA.es/LNFA, excuse me, and use the hashtag LNFA Feminina on Twitter. Also, follow at FEFA_Spain for updates of matches on Twitter, and also follow at FieldGoal_EU. Plus, another reminder, round two of the BAFA Women results. Follow at BAFA Women on Twitter for updates, BAFA Women on Twitter. And a reminder to also follow the Australian women's off-season updates. We know how important the off-season is. And the Australia women's game is in the off-season, so keep up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales information by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter. And you can also go to their website, wglaus.com, for cool features and past stories. I always forget that Australia's seasons are opposite of ours, so they're in their off season as we are coming into our women's tackle football season. So, finally, tryouts for North America are in full swing. Keep up to date on the trending tryouts and news by following these awesome people on Twitter at BackseatCoach, at WSB Talk, and at MyLFL. For Canada news, follow at WWCFL, at MWSL Football, and at CCWFL. A shout-out to our network partners at WFB Talk, at Miss Grand 9, and at GI Queendom for sharing all of our posts and bringing us news on women's tackle football. So that was women's news. Follow us on our social sites on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. You can find us on Instagram, Gridiron Beauties. So now, after all of that, we will tackle franchise tags, salary caps, drafts, roster moves, stuff like that. So I am going to start off with a very touchy subject for one of our awesome co-hosts, who is a huge Cowboys fan. So let's get this out of the way. All right, everybody has probably read the news, seen it, that they expect the Dallas Cowboys to not only franchise tag Dez Bryant, which, by the way, the deadline for franchise tagging is over tomorrow, but the Cowboys are going to franchise Dez Bryant and let DeMarco Murray text free agency. So we're going to let Nkeshi completely, totally rant on this because, you know, it's her right. She's a fan. So, Nkeshi, go ahead and take it away.
So, I know they say big girls don't cry, but that is just heartbreaking. You know, it is absolutely, positively heartbreaking. And I really and truly hope that at the end of the day, you know, that DeMarco Murray comes back. And, again, it's not just about the fact that DeMarco Murray is an excellent running back. And I know that, you know, I was listening to a sports show the other day, and they were saying that you have to keep Dez because he's just this incredible, you know, freak athlete, but DeMarco Murray is a dime a dozen because, you know, especially with the whole Adrian Peterson rumors and talks and things like that. But this isn't just about the fact that whether or not DeMarco Murray is or isn't replaceable in terms of a running back, what you cannot replace is chemistry. And that is the for as a Cowboys fan, that is one of the biggest issues here, is that for the past 4 years, I know that DeMarco Murray's faced injuries, and I know that, you know, he's got the whole fumble issue, but there's chemistry between Dez and DeMarco Murray and Tony Romo and Jason Witten. There is a chemistry that allows that offense to flourish. And that offensive line will fight for DeMarco Murray. And they will fight to help him find the openings, find the gaps. And that is the part that is about more than X's and O's. Because as you've seen here in Washington, and Washington fans can attest, you can throw lots of good money at big-name players. But if there is no chemistry between them on the field, it does not matter. If jumping sports really quickly, another example, look at the Spurs and look at the Atlanta Hawks. Those, I know they're basketball, I know we're a football show, but the point is that what they have and why they're succeeding is because it's not about just big names. It's about everyone playing their role and playing their role well. And I just think that this is a huge mistake to upset the apple cart, not when we were clearly so close, not when you were clearly so close, you know, to grabbing the ring. And I just think that it will be a total travesty if they let DeMarco Murray go.
Yeah. Eric, what do you think?
Well, I think this is one of those things that just has to play itself out. Yeah, they're expected to franchise tag Dez, which if you look at, you know, the other piece of that puzzle, him being franchised, as you know, could, you know, send him off the deep end emotionally. So you're looking at a guy that may you know, have the same production that he had, you know, this past season. But now when it comes to, you know, I want my money, now it's, okay, well, you guys franchise tag me. You know what? I don't want to be around. I want to go somewhere else. So we could possibly be looking at the same thing at the end of next year in a way. So I think it's just one of those things that has to play itself out. I know you were talking about chemistry, Kishi. If they bring in somebody else other than DeMarco and they end up having that same chemistry, then, you know, it's all water under the bridge at that point. So, you know, it's just
right.
One of those things that just has to play itself out. So I'm not going to say at this point it's a mistake, but, you know, definitely, you know, everybody's radar will be up, you know, checking out the situation.
Okay,
yeah.
So I love how you said that, because that was true about the whole franchise tag. And that's another issue. I don't agree with franchise tagging Dez. He's worth the money. Pay him what he's worth. I will absolutely agree with that. I think that it is disheartening for him to watch a Calvin Johnson go out there and get the type of contract that he's gotten, and you franchise Dez saying, you're good enough for us to keep you, but we're not really sure you're worth the risk of paying you this type of money. And I think that's true. And this is going to sound totally crazy. I don't know if it will totally send him off the deep end the way everybody's anticipating. I think that there is this expectation because of the level of passion and heart with which he plays, that there's some kind of mental unstableness there. And I think that he's a winner who wants to win, and he does have love for this team. And, you know, again, like I said last week, wearing that 88, it means something to him. It means a lot to him. And on that, there is absolutely no disagreeing that that is so valuable. But I think that if they, you know, going ahead and franchise him this year, then this is the opportunity to really bring in a veteran player, to really bring in the playmaker, and to help smooth this out and strategize for how to make this work for the next year for the good of everyone. Because I honestly think, and this is terrible, but I think that had the Cowboys gotten to the Super Bowl and or won, I don't think we'd be having this conversation.
Well, a lot of times
when a team...
Go ahead, Erica.
What was that, Eric? What did you say? No, go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of times, though, when a team does win the Super Bowl and they have free agents, you know, guys that are coming up on free agent contracts, that's a lot of times when they end up losing a lot of people because, you know, everybody wants to be – they want to have winners on their team. And, you know, you see year after year, whoever wins the Super Bowl, they end up losing a ton of guys to free agency because, you know, everybody wants a piece of that. You know, this guy was a Super Bowl winner. He can help our team, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, there is a possibility it could be whether if they won the Super Bowl, we could still be in the same situation. Maybe not. But yeah, like I said, it's just one of those things that has to just play itself out.
Players usually leave after they win the Super Bowl because their price tag will never be higher in their career unless they win another Super Bowl. But like you said, teams are shopping around for Super Bowl winners, and that guy, you know, starting wide receiver, whatever, for a Super Bowl team, you know, he could pretty much almost demand anything he wanted because he just won a Super Bowl. What, are you going to turn down a Super Bowl winner? You know, so that's a legitimate issue. You know, Dez Bryant, if he gets franchise tagged, that's a one-year, obviously guaranteed contract. They're projecting the franchise tag amount for a wide receiver will be $12.8 million. So that's what Dez will be paid this year if they tag him, you know, 1 year. That gives them another season to try and work out a long-term deal if they decide that's something they want to do. They had contract talks with them, but they kind of broke down. And I think this is kind of their last resort. They don't want Bryant to leave, and so it's kind of like, well, here's what we got, you know. I think Bryant probably wanted a lot of money, and Cowboys weren't ready to shell out as much maybe as he was demanding. We don't know what happens behind closed doors, but, you know, it seems like that's possibly what's happening.
Well, and the irony is that according to a recent article that I read, was that the NFLPA says the Cowboys aren't spending enough toward the salary cap, which is even worse because if you remember, 2 years ago, we got in, was it 2 years ago now, that the Cowboys and the Redskins were both penalized for salary
cap over.
Issues. Right. So now it looks like the Cowboys are getting penalized or could be penalized if they don't spend enough toward the salary cap. So which means that if that's the case, then, you know, maybe we need to be looking at spending more of that money to keep our two key free agents. And then the other part of it is, and as much as I love Tony Romo, I think they spent way too much on his salary, you know, when they renegotiated his deal. And I think that that could be part of why people are kicking and screaming and hollering as well, because Tony Romo, as much as I love him, is not a Dez Bryant. And I think that Tony Romo is an amazing quarterback. Let me be clear. To be an undrafted quarterback, to come from a small school, and to have the statistics that he has during the season, clearly we're not going to address the, you know, postseason stats. But for the stats and numbers that he has to keep him, you know, in one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, it's amazing, but everyone still, I think, will question whether or not he was worthy of the contract that he got, you know, that put him right up there with the Drew Brees, and his salary was renegotiated close to Drew Brees and Flacco's, you know, after Flacco won the Super Bowl. So I think that these are some of the other issues that people are looking at in terms of scratching their head with what are you thinking, you know, look at how the Cowboys are spending their money in terms of free agency. So Eric's right. We're going to have to watch and play it out. And I think I'm just kind of just waiting with bated breath to try to get through the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and it, you know, I read too, they're wondering if Denver will tag Demaryius Thomas, him in Denver. You know, if they can't lock down the long-term contract, it is possible that Denver could tag Thomas. So, you know, we already know that Julius probably won't be back. They're going to let him test free agency. So, you know, they will probably be without their star tight end. you know, those are kind of two big franchise tags that we see that, you know, with Bryant and Thomas that people are pretty sure going to happen. We'll have to see tomorrow, you know, whether that happens or not. You know, I have heard that, you know, Devin McCourty is a free agent, and I have heard that the Patriots are thinking about tagging McCourty this year. You know, I think that they want to get a deal done with Revis, and but that they really do not want McCourty to leave. They really like McCourty, and they want him in New England. So McCourty, he said he's open to the tag, so, you know, that would put him at around $9.6 million if they tag McCourty. So I honestly hope they do. I love Devin McCourty, and his brother plays for the Titans, Jason. So
okay.
Yeah. So that's something I hope to see tomorrow. And another time that everyone's watching is whether the Lions are going to tag Sue. So that, I think, is something else that we're going to have to watch and see. Yeah. So they said that it's a possibility because they haven't been able to get a deal done with him yet. So I think it would be a huge hit to the Lions. We've talked about Sue's, you know, issues, ironically, on the field, not off the field. But he still gives their defense kind of a boost. And without him, I can't see. I think the Lions would take a big hit. But, you know, we're just going to have to see how that plays out tomorrow.
Well, I, for one, would like to see the Bears in line if they do decide to let him test the free agent market as bad as that defense has been the past couple of years.
Really? Oh, do tell. Not that I don't agree with you, especially in terms of what he brings to the Bears for defense, and I think, and we know, and you've expressed, you know, and discussed, you know, the critical defensive issues that the Bears have, but I'm intrigued that you would say Sue. Okay, so do tell why.
Well, he definitely
just because
brings...
I know the behavior, so that's why I'm like, ooh, I can't picture you wanting his personality on the team.
Well, he definitely brings an edge, and that permeates through a team. And somehow, somewhere, the Bears have lost that edge. They used to be known for their defense. They used to be known for playing an intimidating style. And, you know, it's just not there anymore. Now, I can't say for sure if I really would want him on the team for sure, but to me it's almost like, kind of like Dennis Rodman back in the day. Like, I couldn't stand him when he was in New York. But when he came to Chicago, I was like, oh, yeah, that's my man right there. Because he brought an edge to him that the Bulls didn't quite have at that point. So, you know, to me, Sue seems like one of those guys that, you know, everybody loves to hate until they're on his team. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is my guy right here.
Yeah, that's usually how it happens, yeah. You know, another issue with the Lions and Sue is, you know, with the franchise tags, when you tag them, you know, it's that it's either an average of the top five salaries at that player's position, or it's 120% of the player's previous salary, whichever is greater. So the problem with Sue is that the average of the top five is not greater than 120% of his previous salary. This is where a long-term deal would be better for the Lions because 120% of his salary last season comes out to $26.7 million for that franchise tag. That's how much a franchise tag would cost for the Lions. That is way too much for a year. That is ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it is more likely that the Lions will sign him a long-term deal or they'll let him test. Because you'd have to be stupid to tag him for a year for $26.7 million. You'd have to be out of your mind. You know what I mean? Because that's 120% of the $22.4 million here in last season, which even in my opinion is outrageous. But, hey, I don't work for the Lions, so. But, I think you're right, though, Eric. I think that the Bears' defense has lost what made them the Bears' defense, what made them one of the most prolific defenses we had seen in a long time. And Sue could bring that back to them. Sue could definitely, you know, help them with that. You know, it's kind of I want to see the Bears revitalized. They have a new GM. They have a new head coach. I want to see just fresh air blown through that entire franchise because they need it. They absolutely need something, you know, they need a kick in the ass, essentially. I mean, so I'd like to see it. I think their locker room could use it and everything. So it'll definitely be interesting to see that play out.
Well, to hear their owner finally come out and say that, you know, she is just tired of mediocrity, that was like an eye-opener right there because, you know, for decades, they've always been content with just being able to fill up the stadium. You have your one or two superstars, and then the rest are just kind of role players that just kind of go in and out. But they put their butts in the seats, and, you know, the games are on every week. But, for example, with that 85 team, they could have had a dynasty right there. They could have won at least, you know, 3-4 Super Bowls with that team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were just satisfied with just the status quo. And to hear her finally come out and say, you know what, I'm tired of this. There needs to be a change. And it wasn't just lip service. They actually brought in a coach that has head coaching experience. The only other coach that had head coaching experience was George Halas. And that was only because he coached the team when they first started the NFL, and then he retired, and then he came back. So other than him, nobody else had any previous head coaching experience. It was always coordinators or Mike Ditka was a special teams coach in Dallas. So it seems like things are finally starting to change, but, you know, time will tell for sure.
Yep, I agree. It's a good year to watch. I think the Bears are one of those teams to watch this season. Definitely. I think they're one to keep an eye out because I hope that we're going to see some major improvement, you know. To definitely keep an eye out.
I think next season is going to be interesting.
I think the dynamic in the league is changing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's what's going to make next season so interesting because the reality is with the types of moves that the players and the teams are making in terms of what I always call the coaching carousel and who's going where and, you know, because that's something else we don't ever talk about is which coaches are a good fit for which team. Like we sort of talked about that a little bit with the 49ers and where – you know, whether or not Harbaugh was a good fit and, you know, in terms of the players and or that owner and now him going back to Michigan. And, you know, the way the coaches are moving and the way the players are moving, on some levels it's kind of like a chess match, but on the other levels it's kind of like a puzzle. And I really am expecting, unless there's, God forbid, crazy injuries, I'm really expecting a lot out of next season. And I think that teams who were under are going to rise up, and teams who've always been on top, I think they're going to finally get some, they're going to see some challenges to their throne. But you know who else we didn't talk about, too? And I don't know, Eric, if this is on your radar, and we can talk about him later, was Ray Rice and, you know, and him trying to get reinstated. And he and he's making a lot of big moves around here, too, trying to figure out where he's going to go next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the Ray Rice situation is, I think that is going to be a huge thing for any team to tackle, not only because of the media circus and just the circus in general he brings with him, but you got to wonder, what is his playing level going to be like after everything that's happened? How long was he gone from the league? You know, we look at that, you know, the absence from the league, and then how much did everything mess with his head? You know, I mean, can he come back and be as good as he was? Or, you know, that, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a gamble, and I think that he has to definitely expect that, one, if any team that I think he goes to, they're going to just sign him to a one-year contract. I don't think he can expect any more than that because they're going to want to test him out.
No.
And two, he can't expect a lot of money. He just can't. Not after everything that's happened, he can't expect a ton of money. So he's really going to have to lower his expectations with coming back into the league. I don't know
I
what
agree.
You guys think, but kind of my opinion.
Also, teams are looking at the fact that, you know, like you said, he's been out for a year, but also the past few years, his numbers have been declining each year. So that's another thing that teams are looking at as well. Like, you know, can he recapture
mm-hmm.
what he was, or is he just going to come back and just be an average player?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think there's some questions about Adrian Peterson as well. I mean, obviously his situation wasn't as, I'm not trying to downplay what he did, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't as circus-like, if you will. And but he's been gone from the game a long time. You know, he had that injury a couple of seasons ago. So Adrian Peterson's kind of a little bit of a wild card as well, and I think Adrian Peterson also has to lower his expectations in that he can't expect a long-term contract, and he can't expect a ton of money, you know. Both of them are going to have to, you know, kind of just put the ego aside this season, the upcoming season, you know?
Well, with Adrian Peterson, I think you kind of have to look at him a little bit differently. Off-field issues aside, I'm looking at, he did have the major injury, but the next year he came back and had the best year of his career. So I know given the fact that he is on 30,
yeah.
But, I mean, he was basically the bionic man. I mean, he does stuff that's, I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. So I think they'll probably be looking at him a little bit differently than Ray Rice. I think teams will be, you know, kind of chomping at the bit to try to get a piece of him versus Ray Rice. But,
And he hasn't had that injury, too. Well, I mean, he had the injury, but you're right, Eric. Even though he did have that injury, having a year off also protects him from being injured.
Right, so I mean, he should be nice and fresh when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, playing-wise, he's definitely, I guess I was talking more of off-field, you know, in general. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that season he had after he came back from his injury was insane. And it was amazing. I mean, you come back from an injury like he had, and to perform like that and almost break that record, I mean, that was huge, you know. And on the field, he's amazing. And I'd take Adrian Peterson over Ray Rice, I think, any day, positionally, you know. So I think that we'll probably see Adrian Peterson get picked up before Ray Rice. I think that's almost a given.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say it'll be somebody other than the Vikings. So book it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I already assumed that he wouldn't be back in Minnesota. I mean, that relationship seems pretty broken to me.
Well, I don't know if Minnesota's giving lip service or what, but they say they welcome him back. But it doesn't seem like he feels that way. And, you know, I think he might be just looking for just a fresh start somewhere else. You know, he didn't feel like he got the support that he needed while he was out. He doesn't feel like they for sure want him back. They just seems like to him they're just kind of saying that. And I know he's had kind of off-the-record conversations with Jerry Jones about coming to Dallas. So, you know, things are about to get crazy here.
Yeah. Well, and I think, honestly, I think for everybody involved in that situation, I think it's the best thing for everybody involved is for Minnesota and for Adrian Peterson to part ways. I think they all need a fresh start. I think that's exactly what – there's too much history there, bad history, if you will. And I think it's just better in general if Adrian Peterson goes somewhere else. It's, you know, like, you know, if the Bray Rice, you know, he will go somewhere else, but even if there was a chance, he just shouldn't go back to Baltimore. That's just those environments I just don't think are conducive to fostering any type of success, you know. So,
yeah, especially
for Ray Rice. Oh, yeah, that was insane, yeah. So, did I already say what they expected the 2015 cap to be? I couldn't remember if I said it or not. I had it in my notes. They expect it to be between $138.6 and $141.8 million. That's what they expect the cap to be. I think that the NFLPA or whatever was saying something about they thought it was too low. So we'll just have to see. But probably within the first couple of weeks of March, they will announce the salary cap so everyone can really start to make the roster moves. I think it's a little odd that franchise tag deadline's tomorrow when they haven't officially released the cap, because when you franchise tag somebody, like I said, you either take 120% of their previous year's salary or the average of the top five salaries in their position, whichever is greater. How are they supposed to make an informed decision if we don't know how much money we can spend? So I find it a little odd that they have to make a decision, because it seems like a little bit like they're going in a bit blind. But, again, I don't work for the NFL, so it's not my decision to make. But I think it would be hard to make that decision, I think, especially if you're looking to franchise tag a running back. You know, it's $10.93 million they're projecting the tag, or 120% of his last year's salary, whichever is greater. I mean, that's a lot of money to spend if you don't know how much you have to spend, you know? So
exactly.
But so let's talk some roster moves. So there were some veterans that were let go here, I think, since we last talked. Reggie Bush let go. Darnell Dockett, Steven Jackson, A.J. Hawk, Jacoby Jones, Peyton Hillis. All of them have been released, so they are available. And, yes, they are veterans. Some of them have major injury issues, repeated injury issues. Let's go down the list and see, Reggie Bush. And, Kishi, what do you think Reggie Bush can expect? I mean, what do you think?
I think that he'll get picked up, but he definitely will not be a starting running back. And I think it'll be somebody, who needs a good substitute, or someone who can actually be a benefit on special teams. Because if I remember correctly, he did special teams for the Saints too. And I could see him doing some special team, play. Where he can run but doesn't have to take a lot of hits.
Yeah.
And I think injuries that he's had, I think he's definitely a punt returner, and I could see him on special teams, because that way he can still use whatever speed is left without having to worry about, making hit after hit after hit if they're using him over and over and over as an all-down back like they were trying to do.
Mhm. Eric, what do you think?
I think where and when he ends up is going to be pretty much up to him, as far as the type of money that he's going to be looking for. If he's looking for, a pretty big salary, we'll say, then it's probably going to be something that won't happen until just before the start of the season, or into the first game or two. He's one of those guys that never really seemed to match the hype of what was surrounding him coming out of college. You could always see flashes here and there, but he never got into that next gear. So I think he just may end up being one of those guys, like you were saying, that's, just kind of a role player on offense, special teams, kick returner, punt returner, that type of thing. So if he's willing to do that, then he'll probably get picked up, fairly quickly. If not, if he's still talking about, well, I want to be a starter or I'm an every down back, then it's going to take some time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, Eric. I can't see it.
What do you think about Darnell Dockett?
I think he'll get picked up pretty quickly. You look at the defense that the Cardinals had this past season. And him being a part of that, I think he'll get picked up pretty quickly. May not be for a huge amount of money, but I'm sure it'll be something that he'll be happy with whatever team picks him up, and keep rolling from there.
Mm-hmm. And Kishi?
I'm going to agree with Eric. I think that a lot of the guys who are coming up for free agency this season are guys who are fringe or cusp. Now, of course, again, Dez and DeMarco Murray, not just because I'm a Cowboys fan, but I think a lot of them are guys who are almost past their prime, where there's still enough juice left in them that they could make a difference and be a role player and they can make a contribution, but don't look for them to carry your team. And I think that that's where a lot of these guys are right now. So I agree. I think Darnell Dock would have to be someone who's where it finds the right spot in the right place. And that's really where I see a lot of the guys right now that are up for free agency.
Yeah. Yeah. And Steven Jackson and Kishi, what do you think? Obviously, we know him. He's getting older. That's hard. Being a running back as you get older is I think, one of the hardest positions in the NFL to find a spot and to stay relevant, if you will.
Absolutely. I really do. And I think that Eric hit it right on the nose. With the ground and the pound and the beating that running backs take, it's even harder. So the wear and tear makes them disintegrate in terms of the productivity levels much faster almost than any other position. And I don't know how much more Steven Jackson has in him, and I don't even know where he would go at this point.
Yeah, especially if you're on a team that, let's say, you get drafted by a team and they signed you to a kind of a longer contract that eats up your first 5 to 6 good years, and they don't have a decent O-line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a running back is that running back isn't going to have as many years in him as a running back who gets on a team that has a great O-line and provides him protection and opens up those holes for him. More hits, obviously, you know, shorter career. And, obviously the running backs are not giant, and, you know, they're not D-line size. They tend to be on the smaller side of the NFL spectrum. So I really feel
and everything
bad for
is
running
about
backs.
Their legs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and
yeah,
and they tend to get injured
ankles,
a lot more.
I mean, yeah, they do. Eric, what do you think about Steven Jackson?
Well, Steven Jackson, I kind of feel sorry for him because, you know, he's got the potential to be, I think, one of the greatest backs ever. It's just he hasn't been on very good teams. He's been on teams where the offensive line has been bad. So he's really taken a beating. And, all those injuries have started to pile up on him. So I'm hoping he can get with a team that has a very good offensive line, kind of like the Cowboys, where, you know, it maybe he gets the ball and it's, you know, 5 yards down the field before he's even touched, instead of, you know, getting nailed in the backfield at pretty much every time he gets the ball. He's a big guy. He gives out a lot of punishment, but he takes a lot of punishment. So I would like to see him get with a team where, you know, he can, you know, some of that potential that he has can be realized because he's given more time, he's got more room to run, things like that. But realistically, it's hard to say if that's going to happen. I would think, you know, somebody that is secure with their running backs, some of the better teams in the league, they're going to stick to what they've got, and he's probably going to end up somewhere, you know, kind of where he's been, you know, kind of a mediocre team, to lower level team.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that's unfortunate for him. You know, unless, Bill Belichick may, you know, pull something out of his hat like he does every year, and get rid of Blunt and put him in there, and you know, they take off again. So, you know, we'll see.
I don't see Blunt going anywhere, but we definitely Belichick likes. He likes to trade his running backs in and out. Belichick is not a guy that likes to keep running backs long term. So I could see Belichick doing something like grabbing a Steven Jackson or a Reggie Bush or something for a year. You know, I could totally see him doing that. You know, I think these guys, even though they're older and they've taken a lot of punishment due to the poor, either, you know, Reggie Bush's case, injury prone, or in Steven Jackson's case, poor O-line over the course of his career, still have something to offer, whether it's special teams or they're a third down back or something like that. They definitely still have you know, it's not time to put them out to pasture yet. You know, they definitely have something to offer, and it's just about that one team seeing that potential and fitting them into their scheme so that these guys can still play but not be risked, you know.
Right.
So one roster move I honestly was surprised with this week was the Packers releasing A.J. Hawk. I don't know about you guys, but that did surprise me. Eric,
yeah,
let's start with you. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. Just for the fact that I just didn't see it coming. It wasn't like, you know, I felt like he was their heart and soul and was like, oh my God, they let him go.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just something that I just didn't see coming. But
yeah.
You know, just kind of taking a look at it, it seems like what they're probably doing is they're trying to you know, send him on his way before he ends up, you know, really, you know, taking a dip.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a trend with a lot of teams is like, okay, let's see if we can, you know, take a guy and get as much as we can get out of him, and, you know, before that year comes where he really falls off the table, let's get rid of him. So that I think that might be the
situation. And then get him while they can still get some more money or picks, yeah. And then get him while he's still good and get some good money and get picks for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's about right. But now I would be more surprised if they had gotten rid of Clay Matthews.
Even
right,
though they
right, didn't
play him in the last part of the game in the playoffs, like, who benches Clay Matthews in the playoffs? That's what I want to know. Who made that decision?
Sounds like we got a rant.
I didn't mean to do that. That was not planned. I did not mean to do that. But seriously, as soon as he said his name, I was like, no, seriously, who does that? So, anyway, sorry, guys. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to skip the last two names on my list because I'm curious because I've been you guys probably watched my rant on YouTube. So, and we've talked about it many a time, is the Jameis Winston issue. So do you guys, I'll start with you and Kishi, do you honestly think that Lovie Smith and the Bucs would draft Winston? Do you think, let's just go with this. Do you think Winston's going first in the draft?
Lord. Okay, so my answer, and you're not going to like this, is yes. Now, let me tell you why. With Sexy Rexy, you know, with Rex Grossman, Lovie Smith was able to go to the Super Bowl because he was a defensive guy. But he never had the quarterback that Indiana had in Peyton Manning. And I honestly think mm-hmm. that Lovie Smith, being a defensive-minded guy, probably thinks that he has the capability to give Winston the discipline that he needs, and that Winston will give him the type of offense and the offensive weapon that is sorely needed in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And
what
I'm going to honestly say yes. I do.
Yeah. Do you think he goes first, Eric?
Yeah, I could feasibly see that. Kind of for the same reasons Kishi just brought up. Initially, when Lovie Smith came to Chicago, I mean, he had quarterback issue after quarterback issue after quarterback issue. You know, yeah, Rex Grossman was on the Super Bowl team, but he didn't necessarily take them there. And you know, I think they would have won the game if they had put Kyle Orton in. But, you know, that's just my opinion. But I think once he finally got Jay Cutler, he finally realized, wow, we can put some points on the board now. So I think
mm-hmm.
over time he's learned his lesson as far as you know, having a guy that can put up points versus a guy that's just kind of managing the game. So I
mm-hmm.
think I could feasibly see him for sure taking, you know, Jameis Winston number one. And plus he's that type of coach where, you know, he's not a screamer and a yeller, but he has a certain presence about him that, you know, when he walks to the locker room, guys, they straighten up their act, and you know, they pay attention to what he's got to say. So I think, you know, that'll be the case with Winston, especially as he gets older.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see it, and I think it's probably likely that Winston will go number one, which honestly really disappoints me because I like Lovie Smith, and honestly, and I don't say this to be insulting, but I would think that he's smarter than that, and that's not to be insulting at all, even though I know it sounds insulting, but I would think that he would see the danger in drafting Winston. I mean, we all saw the way he completely fell apart in the Oregon game. And I get people can say that's one game, how many comebacks did they have, blah, 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 right? But I really felt like the Oregon game was completely indicative and completely illustrative of Winston. And so, I mean, you know, you've heard the different things that the Eagles will trade up to try, you know, they've got the 20th pick. The Eagles will trade up and try and get, you know, Mariota. And then there's talk, they think the Rams should grab him because they can't count on Bradford, which I think is an accurate, very accurate assessment. The Rams have the 10th pick. You know, there's the Jets who need a quarterback. So they have the 6th pick. And so, you know, you have these different teams that need a quarterback. The Titans need a quarterback, you know, so who knows if they're going to go with Mariota. The Jaguars don't need one. They got one last year. The Raiders don't because they had one last year. The Redskins don't need a quarterback. So you really have 1, 2, and 6 so far without any draft pick moves that need a quarterback, a reliable franchise quarterback. So you Bucks, Titans, and Jets are where it's at. So top 3 quarterbacks in the draft right now are Mariota, Hundley, and Winston. So who knows? I mean, everyone expected Manziel to go, you know, earlier than he did last year, which I don't know why, but, you know, he went right about when he was supposed to. This is one of the things that we are going to have to see play out. You know, like, you know, how many mock drafts do we need in February? How many times do we have to hash this out? And I probably wouldn't even be talking about it if it weren't for the fact people just keep going on and on about Winston. And I am being completely honest here. I don't see it. I do not get it, as evidenced by my Are You Kidding Me video. I just don't get it. I don't know. I don't see it. I'm completely mystified by it. I don't know. So there you go. There's my thing on the draft. I don't know.
Well, the thing that everybody is high on is, you know, basically his football IQ and his leadership ability. The things that happened off the field, aside from being accused of sexual assault, you know, were fairly minor in the sense that, you know, a team can say, okay, if this guy ends up being, you know, what we need, we can overlook that stuff. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy that's coming from a pro-style offense, there's not a whole lot of, you know, tweaking and changing and teaching that you have to do with him. And plus, coaches don't have a whole lot of time for that. It's, you know, it's start installing the offense, start learning it, and let's you know, hit the ground 100 miles an hour. Whereas you look at Mariota, yeah, he's a better athlete. He's probably got a better head on his shoulders at this point. But there's going to have to be a whole lot of teaching him, you know, getting him out of some of the habits that he had with Oregon to teach him more of a pro-style offense, which could potentially cause a longer learning curve for him.
And that's going to be the right coach.
What's that?
Yeah. No, I was agreeing. I said, yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's going to be the trick of finding the right coach. And what are the chances that he ends up in Philly? I mean, that's, of course, the rage is that Philly may try to trade up to get him, especially with Sanchez being, you know, a free agent.
Well, from what I'm hearing, there's not many teams that want to do that because they'll have to come down to 20. And there's not really, I mean, if you look at who's coming out this year, I mean, there's not a whole lot of talent in that spot. So a lot of teams aren't really looking to come down to 20, so that'll be kind of difficult for for Chip Kelly to pull off.
Well, especially
do you
with
think Mariota
like
could fall to 20?
No.
I don't see him falling to 20.
No, the Jets will take him before that happens. I think if the Titans don't grab him, I think the Jets would be stupid not to. Or what are they going to do, put in Geno Smith again? Count on Vic? I mean, you know, yeah, realistically
right.
For the Jets, you know. My thing, and I get, you know, they said that Winston's football IQ is off the charts, but, you know, this and that, he comes from more of a pro-style offense. My thing is overlooking his off-the-field issues. Right now they're minor, right? But what happens when we hand him $10 million? And there's no more media blackout with these college kids now. Endorsements, big contracts, people, you know, complete access. So his personality so far has shown us he doesn't discriminate with trouble. He doesn't care. He makes stupid decisions. And I feel like he's a dangerous gamble when you get him in that environment. I mean, we saw it with Manziel, right? His off-the-field issues were less than Winston, right? They're way less than Winston, but they were minor. But look what we saw, Manziel, completely self-destructive. He's in rehab right now. You know what I mean? And so these are the things that I look at that I feel like if I owned a team, I wouldn't make the gamble. And that's really what it comes down to for me, you know?
With Manziel, though, I mean, I wouldn't say he had less issues. I think he just had different issues. His was more so with the partying and you know, hanging out with people that are celebrities and, you know, going to concerts. And
ahead of his time.
Right. And a lot of the pro teams wanted to see if, in fact, he was going to settle down and, you know, get his nose in the playbook, you know, be the first one in the building, the last one out, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which he proved he could not do.
Yeah.
But his issues were you know, a little bit different.
Yeah. Hi, we have a caller. You're on with Erica, Eric, and Nkeshi.
Hey, guys, it's Oscar.
Oh, I heard it.
Hi, Oscar.
How's it going, everybody, today? NFL Combine talk. I've been listening for the last hour, so sorry, Kishi there, tag, and the whole choke on your two top players there.
I'm breathing.
We know you're breathing. I think you're on your knees just trying to gasp for air for right now.
Just a little bit. If you can find me an oxygen tank, I'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a kind of crazy week, especially with the combine and everything. And it looks to me like, you know, to Eric's point, you know, Manziel being a bust kind of just worries everybody in terms of who's coming out this time around. And then I was hearing rumors that they're going to be changing the format. So it's kind of, if you're changing the format, there's some sort of, you know, a concern with prospects coming in.
Yeah, that's just a good point. Definitely,
yeah.
You know. We don't want a Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf incident. No team wants
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
No. So, and like you said,
I think you have a lot of more stock this time around with linemen and more of that mentality than you do with playmaker and superstars. The wide receivers didn't really get that much accolade. The quarterbacks were kind of like, oh, okay, well, he's a quarterback. But most people were looking at cornerbacks or offensive linemen or interior linemen because of the fact that you're looking at an aging league now. You have a couple stars, and you guys were mentioning it earlier. You got a couple backs that are probably past their prime. And the only way to plug in a new guy is to enforce the shield up at the front. So if you bring in some decent young talent up on the offensive lines. For example, like Nkeshi was saying about Dallas, you know, you don't give enough beef to Romo, it doesn't matter who you have in the back. But if you give him enough protection, a suitable, to Eric's point, another person that can step up from college might do well because of the fact that he's got support.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And plus, you look at how crazy the NFL game has gotten over the past few years with, you know, with getting, you know, receivers and quarterbacks, and now it's like, okay, now we got to get guys to protect them. So it seems like the things are kind of starting to come around to more so fundamentals.
Yeah, and the speed of the game is so different too. The defensive linemen aren't lumbering anymore.
Right. I think the reserve factor is that, to Eric's point, and we've already noticed it, you know, you have certain quarterbacks that didn't have any flair. You know, you're talking like Bortles up in Jacksonville, who hasn't blossomed yet, but he's low-key. But you had the big, you know, the big flashy, you know, Johnny Football, who's a bust because of his, you know, off-the-field situation. So, you know, going to Cleveland was a death wish anyway, so, I mean, I guess it works out that way.
Yeah, you remember last year, sir, when we were talking about the draft and we combed over draft picks and stuff, and we talked about that. We talked about the comparison between Manziel and Bortles. And, you know, and I, you know, made the prediction that I really thought that Bortles was going to be the first quarterback picked in the draft because you could see in the combine that intelligence-wise, and like you said, he's low-key, he wasn't out there. And Bortles, you know, the Jags were smart in picking him. And, yeah, he hasn't flourished yet, but he's definitely on track to, you know, more so than, let's say, Manziel, who had more hype. So, you know, and it is, you know, we're definitely seeing a shift where it's not all quarterback running backs. People are seeing now, oh, hey, you know, getting a good corner makes a difference, or, you know, really, you know, beefing up our line, you know, makes a difference. And these are puzzle pieces that are, you know, an essential part of a football team. And that the draft isn't all for the flash and in the you know, fame. That it's about building a team, and a team isn't always about finding the guy whose name is the most well-known, you know?
Yeah, and Eric will attest to it. He's been a player before. The combine, to me, is really nothing of a gauge factor except for what a human being as an athlete can do, but there's nothing in terms of playmaking. There's nothing in terms of what he's able to do on a scheme, and there's nothing that puts out to you and says, this guy's going to be so impactful. It ain't going to happen. You're not impactful until you get to the, you know, OTAs, until you get to the actual training camp, and then realize that whether this person's going to grasp the offense, whether this person's going to be an asset in terms of a format. But the combine is just really, to me, it's just the NFL's way of just showcasing, you know, cattle, just like you do with, you know, with livestock. It's just all, that's all it is. But it doesn't tell you anything about that individual, because when push comes to shove, It's going to be into the training camp mode where things are going to spring up and say, can this person be a real asset to it, or are they not? And look at Manziel. Manziel had a lot of talent, but you also have to understand, in college, the coaches compensate for a lot of it, and they put the player in a way to win because they have to win. But when you get to the NFL, that structure isn't there anymore. It's a quilt,
mm-hmm.
And you have to start building it up every season. So just because you're, you know, almighty in college doesn't mean squat when you come to the pros.
No, there's no more babysitting. You get to the NFL, there's no more babysitting. You know, there's no more compensating for you. You're part of a team, but essentially you're responsible for you and your position. So.
Yeah, and you're looking at, I mean, Eric's talked about it before, you know, with some of the coaching going with the 3-4 or 4-3, that also goes into play with a lot of the structure of a team, because you're trying to piece together an attack mode, and sometimes that might not work in the division as well as you think it would have been, and you still roll with it, and then all of a sudden your personnel maybe gets fractured by that because you're putting you know, kids that come from a 3-4 and now they have to readjust to a 4-3. So I mean, it's kind of tough mentally. And then ultimately you put a lot of burden on physically, because now they're being shifted from a normal standard position. Now they have to be shifted to another position that they have to learn. And they have to learn it quickly, because this is now, you know, they're not just up front against somebody that says, oh, it's just another college guy. You're probably lining up against a two or three or four-year veteran that's going to have an edge.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking, is that it's not going against a college guy that's kind of mediocre. These are the best of the best that you're going against now. So that's a little bit different than what you know, it's easy to stand out in college, you know, when you're that good. But when you go to the NFL, it's a lot harder.
Well, and Kishi, I will tell you, I'm in the same boat you are with a dilemma. Is it our case? I just think we move to L.A., get a new stadium, and let go of Bradford. That's my solution to everything because, really, the Rams, I think they just need to go back to L.A., and then everything will be fine. God will help us, and then we will be rising once again. Yeah, right.
Here, here. Well, now, you guys, you guys have McFadden is a free agent this year. So, Oscar, since we've got you and we've been talking about everybody else's team, who are your free agents that you think that you guys should keep and who should you guys let go? Now, especially, you know, we'll start with McFadden.
You know what? I'm not too interested in what the roster looks like right now because I've never been high on Jeff Fisher because Jeff Fisher to me is a decent coach but not a playoff coach. So I haven't even scoped the roster yet because I don't start scoping the roster until the OTA start and then when training camp comes in. To me, that is when you truly assess the team at training camp because that's when the boys are separated from the men. And then you see exactly what you're going to do. But, you know, we do have a decent running back and we do have a decent line and we have a great defensive front. It's just a matter. I think right now we're missing the coaching aspect of it. Not aggressive enough for me. And at the same time, the quarterback, we had backup quarterbacks the whole season that were probably decent. If you run a good offense, with either you're going to run a running game, you're going with the running game or you're going with the passing game. You can't have both. And, yeah, balance is there. You have to have balance. But at the same time, you have to focus. Just like Dallas, you know, you're either going to give it to DeMarco or you're going to have Romo, you know, guide you. You can't have it both ways. You have to structure it
right to
where you're successful, especially in the West. And given San Francisco lacks is coming in with a new coach, there's a headache already there looming over them. Pete Carroll's, you know, blunder in the Super Bowl. Probably the front runner in that division. Arizona, I will tell you right now, that coach has not even proven himself yet. If he gets a couple pieces together, Mr. Arians will be probably the cream of the crop in the West, maybe this season or next season.
Okay. So what about Sam Bradford? Do you guys keep Sam Bradford or no?
I just think he's too injury prone now, and he doesn't have any support. And I don't think he'll be getting that support unless we make a coaching change. So I think for his career, it's probably beneficial for him to go somewhere else that maybe he's second string and durable. But Rams probably need to look to draft somebody in the draft, maybe a Brian Bennett or an Anthony Boone. I really like Shane Carden, something like some of those players. They just need to draft another quarterback, I think. They just need to scratch up and start all over. They got a good running game with some young running backs. Offensive line is still pretty decent. So, overall, I think that's the issue there for us. It's a quarterback's leadership. We don't have a leader, so you're going to struggle.
Yeah, I've been saying that about the Rams for the last couple of years. It seems like they're just not necessarily just a quarterback away, but that would be a huge start for them. Because, like you said, they have the line on both offensive and defensive fronts, so they just kind of have to build backwards, so to speak, to the backfield of both sides. And once they get that quarterback in there, they'll be on their way.
Yeah, Eric, you've seen Jeff Fisher. I mean, he hasn't wowed you ever since he took Tennessee to the Super Bowl against the Rams. He hasn't done much. Not a playoff contender. Hasn't taken anybody over the top. There's no wow factor. So, I mean, he's a decent coach. He'll get you double-digit wins, if anything, or close to double digits. But it's not somebody you ride on and go, this guy's going to take me over the top. And, unfortunately, that's where we're at. And this franchise, if they're moving to Los Angeles for whatever reason, you got to have a winner in Los Angeles. It's a big market. It's like New York.
Yeah.
If you don't win, it's similar to D.C. If you don't put a brand-new good product out there, you're going to get it. Fans do not. They're not going to pay big money for a loser. You know, they're not going to pay money for mediocre results.
Right.
Oscar, have you seen Brett Hundley's tape?
What was that?
I said, have you seen much of Brett Hundley's tape? Have you seen him play from UCLA?
I saw a little bit of it. He's okay. I'm not, but like I'm saying before here, when we're talking about all these changes, you know, especially if you talk about Dallas. Dallas is always the spotlight in the offseason anyways because of the fact that they have a lot of talent. And giving away talent hurts.
Right.
Because, you know, you give away jewel pieces, and now we're talking dollars. And when you go into dollars,
yeah,
it's mind-blowing, you know, because not everybody's going to take a pay cut like a Tom Brady to stay in a situation where he knows he's got a winner. Some people just get a little greedy,
yeah,
or their mentality goes, I only have 2 more years of shelf life, so I gotta milk as much money as I can, even if I have to go to a mediocre losing team. So sometimes, you know, free agency works that way where the individual decides where they go, not necessarily because the team wants to let them go. It's just, you know, the agent and them figure out their livestock's pretty short now. They got to make quick buck because, obviously, retirement's closer.
Yep. It's a business too, you know, and that's the hard thing to remember sometimes when you think about your player leaving, and you know, it's a business, and sometimes the business gets in the way of, you know, the other aspects of the game. But these people have to think about, you know, their retirement and how they're going to feed their children, and you know, and that's a huge aspect of, you know, how these guys make their decisions.
Yeah, and I think that, like we were just mentioning earlier, when you looked at the combine this week, when you start looking at it, and Eric will look at it, I mean, we got a lot of talented players. You can't say there's not – these are all talented players. They're all talented. Just a matter now of plugging them in into a roster that they will fit, just like a Rubik's Cube. It's just a matter of the coach and the front office figuring out what's the right fit, because if it's, you know, if it's a right fit, bingo, you know, you're good. If it's a, you know, blunder, like we're talking in Cleveland, it's going back to the drawing board. And, you know, we already knew Manziel was not going to be anything special. We knew that. I mean, he was special in college, but nothing special in the pros. You go to Cleveland, you're not, there's no way. I mean, you go to Dallas, I'll give him some hope. Maybe you go to Washington, maybe the Giants. Because, you know, the staff there is a little bit more structured and they're winners and they understand how to win. But you throw them out to, you know, you can't compete with LeBron James anyway, so he just put himself out.
Right.
Well, we are drawing to a close here. So there it is, another awesome edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com with an awesome appearance by Oscar, which is awesome to have you come on and talk. So I want to remind you guys to check out at GridironGirl.org on Twitter and GridironGirl.org for college football and NFL insights and stories. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find Kishi at Kishi's Cutie. You can find Eric at Fit for Life. Life is spelled with a Y. And you can find myself at PastFangirl12 for sports and football tweets during the week. Follow us on Twitter and retweet for your chance to win a No Joke football tee of your choice. The contest ends, well, it already ended, so just kidding. Right, Oscar, it ended the 27th, unless you extended it.
Yeah, the new contest we have is gym selfie.
The sports bra selfie?
Sports bra.
Okay.
The sports bra gym selfie, and it's $50 Victoria's Secret sponsored contest. So if you send a cool gym selfie of yourself with a branded bra, you know, Nike, whatever is preferred for you, you will be put in the drawing for the $50 Victoria's Secret gift card.
With the hashtag NoJokeFootball.
Correct.
So I have one with a Patriots logo on it. Would that surprise you guys? Probably not.
That would be not shocking, but it would surprise us.
Now, if I send one in, that would be a surprise.
That would.
And Erica, you can Sharpie, the evil empire has arrived. I'm pretty sure Erica appreciates that.
My evil empire?
Your evil empire.
Yeah. I can't tell you just how ridiculously excited I am to walk around and be like, we're the champions of the world. And you know what? People don't say near as much crap to me now that we won the Super Bowl as they did before. So We shut up the haters. That's right.
Enjoy this year. Enjoy this year.
I am.
I'm going to have faith. I've gotten through my mourning period, sort of, mostly, kind of, and I am going to move timidly into next season because I still got to get through the next couple weeks.
you got to definitely enjoy it while you can, because if the next season comes up fast and the chances of repeating are slim, even I know that. But I'm going to enjoy it while I can, definitely. I did get up a new video this week, so you guys can catch, go to my YouTube channel. I think the link is on my Twitter, so you'll want to check it out, where I rant all about J.J. Watt and Jameis Winston and Warren Sapp, and I think that was it. I think that covers the topics of what I ranted about this week. It was cathartic, let me tell you. That was fun. So you'll want to check that out. You guys have any last comments or anything?
No, go Bears.
I am looking forward to the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to just let everybody know, fantastic support on Instagram for us, over 3,000 over on Instagram likes, and the most recent Instagram is Davila Mushroom. She plays out of the Mexico League. And she's gotten, I think, over 176 likes on her Instagram. So we invite everybody to go to our Instagram and check out all the amazing women globally that we basically spotlight. And you can see amazing girls out there, and you can tell because they're all playing no-joke football.
Definitely. Rodan Beauty's Instagram. You'll definitely guys want to check it out. So thank you, everyone, just like Oscar said, for the support and for listening weekly. We appreciate it all so much. We all have so much fun doing this. And if you have comments, questions, whatever, go ahead and tweet us. We love to talk football. So we will catch you all next Sunday for another exciting edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Bye, everybody. Have a good night.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
See you next week, everybody. Bye.